This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in sports, I'm your host, Kenneth Beans. Joining me, I have Nick and Shelton here with me. What up, fellas?
What's going on? What's happening?
Chilling. So we're on early, reacting to the game, which means it's a blowout. With significant news, and it's also the thing that led us to definitely starting early, because once this happened, the game was completely over when Skylar Thompson got in the game and in two plays took a sack, and then that was it. But I'm not here to bury the lead, man. Let's start with the biggest news that came out of the game. Now, outside of the score and how bad they played, it was Tua in an attempt to make a play. It was 3rd and 4, 4th and 4. And he scrambled to pick up the first down and had the first down, had more than enough yards for the first down, and proceeded to go down head first and collided with Hamlin on the field. Of course, got down, and I was like, ooh, that don't look good. And then Tua started to try and get up, and then next thing you know, he was doing the Thriller. He was doing Michael Jackson's Thriller, and it was a wrap. It was over. He couldn't get up. So, yeah, man, another concussion for the brother. So, I don't know, man. This one was pretty rough, bro.
I think it's interesting because obviously the injury is going to overshadow the game more than anything, but the Dolphins look like shit from the beginning though. Let's be honest with the game as we called it. And I say that granted it's Thursday Night Football is a short week, but they're at home. You would think, and then they came back from, you would think they would still have enough. Maybe it just took a lot of juice out of them to come back last game. Being down, I guess, 17 points or close to it. But, yeah, they came out ugly. And then Tua was just throwing – I don't know what the hell Tua was doing before he even got injured. He was just throwing up anything.
It looked like he had a concussion before that happened, huh?
Yeah.
And that arm talent, I don't know what – he could even throw the ball out of bounds. Like, that shit was just – he literally get – the DB was like, nigga, I got to get this. he made his career for the season. He probably just got paid off of that. But – yeah, the Dolphins just, I mean, Grant, I don't know what their season's going to look like moving forward. We can get into that a little bit. But before he even got hurt, bro, them first two quarters going into the third, it was just ugly. It really looked like this offense, it doesn't look as potent as some others on this show have said like this Dolphins offense should look.
It didn't, and I got three takes I want to get to because Leroy's here. And we need to have these conversations. We need to have them now. But Shelton, before we get into that, how concerned are you for Tua when you saw he started seizing on the field and it looked like he was going to get up and, you know, his hands just went like limp, like he was coming out of an Atlanta club, bro.
It's too soon.
I'm sorry.
man, on a scale of 1 to 10, my concern level now is at a 9. Everybody called for him to retire after seeing that first one. It was so ugly. This second one, if you go back and study it, I went back and watched it a few different times. It was just as bad the way it looked. And you know, it's his reaction to being concussed more so than anything else for me. His reaction to it and the way his body reacts, it's just not a good look. I mean, it's football and things are going to happen, but, man, you got to learn to protect yourself at that quarterback position. The first thing that you need to know is how to slide. You need to practice all summer. I saw one of these teams sliding on a slip and slide to practice the slide. I can't remember who it was.
That was the Bears.
The Bears. But I thought that was interesting and Tua has to learn how to slide before he does anything else. But even before that, like you said, those three interceptions were bad enough. He was having a horrible night because neither one of those interceptions were the same. You know, of course, you're going to have a ricochet ball. That wasn't totally his fault, but the second one, he just straight overthrew the receiver. And the third one, like Nick said, he didn't have a juice to get the ball out of bounds. Something just does not look right. This team, I mean, it's still early in the year. Still early. Two games is still early. No preseason for a lot of these guys. But I'm not liking what I'm seeing. And we don't know how long he's going to be out with this. If they're smart, he's going to miss the next 2 to 3 weeks, which should knock them out of contention already. But my concern level for him is between the 8 and the 9. He really needs to sit down and evaluate whether he needs to come back. And if so, when?
Fifo, did you see it? Because I think the severity of the injury is definitely augmented and amplified, you know, by the previous injury that was just as bad as this. So we're talking about back to back and back to back with the same type of physical reactions that he had before. And that's not good at all.
Concussions is one of those things that you don't get better from. It only gets worse. And we're seeing, you know, as soon as I saw it, because I was at a friend's house, actually a friend but slash client. I was at his house watching it. And when I saw it, the first thing that came to my mind is he got to retire. He got to retire because this is not something that you physically get better from. You know, one of the announcers was talking about how, you know, he bulked up last season and he lost some weight this season to be more mobile. Bulking up doesn't help you with concussions. You know what I'm saying? The only way to help yourself with concussions is putting yourself out of harm's way. So the announcers were right. Like he needed to slide in that situation. And Tua's not Josh Allen, right? We expect Josh Allen. We expect Lamar Jackson in certain situations, put his head down, get the extra yardage. Tua, you not built like that. Right. Like we don't expect Mahomes to do that. We don't expect Aaron Rodgers to do that. There's certain quarterbacks that we just don't expect that out of. And I don't understand why he feels that that is what his team needs. His team needs him to be healthy because availability is the best ability. And he hasn't been able to do that. And for me, he's still young enough. I feel like he still has enough left to live a healthy enough life. Let it go at this point. I understand that he wants to play. Guess what? Become a coordinator, become a coach, do something like that if you still want to be involved with football. But playing or being a starting quarterback in the NFL is not in Tua's cards anymore. And this last concussion showed that. And here's the thing. I love Mike McDaniel because you could tell he's a player's coach. As he was coming off, he whispered something in his ear. You know, he embraced him, gave him a kiss. You know what I'm saying? Because I truly believe he believes in him and he loves him. But there's nothing that anybody can do to save Tua at this point outside of he retiring. That's the only thing that's going to save him, Ken. And for me, looking at this Dolphins team, I agree with Shelton. It is early. And like I've been saying, the reactions and, you know, our Tuesday show, Give all of these teams 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks before, you know, they actually get a rhythm. So I'm not too concerned overall, but I am concerned now because they should be without their starting quarterback for a couple of weeks now. And it's, again, like I just said, it's not going to get better. It's not something that's going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And I feel as a human being, you can't put them back out there.
And I think, To your point about the other quarterbacks you named, Allen, Lamar, I think Patty, the way the impact was made, even quarterbacks like that that are built, they could have the same reaction. Now his, you know, because he had another injury, maybe it made the area still a little bit weak and tender, but even the way because he went head first and then the head kind of, everything kind of mushed in like that. So, you know, it's, that can happen to any of these guys that run into somebody like that. So it was just the angle was bad.
But Ken, the reason why I named who I named was because they're smart in a sense that Josh Allen doesn't always put his head down to get those extra yards.
I'm talking about just if they happen to make that same football move, you could have the same physical reaction because, you know, it was head and then possibly.
But not necessarily, and that's what I was getting to, right? Like the Josh Allens of the world, he doesn't always put his shoulder down to get the extra yards, but when he does, He knows how to. Tua didn't lower his shoulder to run through DeMar Hamlin. He lowered his shoulder. You saw him. He was bracing for impact. That's not how you go about that, because he's not about that life. He's not about, I'm going to lower this shoulder and get the extra. Ben Roethlisberger was about that life. There's certain quarterbacks, Ken, that when that is part of your game, you just know how to do it. Tua don't know how to do it because it's not part of his game. He got to slide. He got to run out of bounds. You can't run through players.
And then, too, like you said, Ken, you know, still could be the after effects from what happened before, because it wasn't necessarily that that was such an egregious hit that it looked like a bad, bad hit. But if you've already been concussed and you still have remnants of that in you, it's gonna be coming back to you, and it's not easy to shake.
It's compound interest.
Yeah. Nick, this may not be the right time.
I'm trying not to.
But I got to.
It's not the. It may be Tuesday. It may be. You may have to save it for Tuesday.
Well, I don't know. We don't know if Tua coming back, but I got to ask, man, because remember when I brought this up, speaking of Tuesday, I brought this up and I asked y'all remember when Tua wasn't good? And y'all kind of brushed it off. And that looked like Flores Tua out there to me.
Hey, I was saying early this season, that's when we were doing our division picks. I was like, what makes y'all think the Dolphins are going to be good this season? I mean, we've only seen one good half of football for them in two games. Now, granted, again, this game is going to get overshadowed by Tua's injury. So you kind of were going to erase this. But up until, like, this game was over before that injury anyway. It wasn't like he got hurt and that changed the game. It was over before the injury. And if it wasn't for a Tyreek Hill phenomenal comeback, they're 0-2. Or first and foremost, they can't beat the Bills. Regardless of Tua is healthy or not, they can't beat the Bills, which means they can't win the division. And this is a depleted Bills team. You know, Josh Allen is pretty much, he scored all their touchdowns last week. You know, I don't know. For at least for the most part, James Cook was balling this week. Josh didn't have to do that much. But I mean, the thing about it is, let's say Tua retires, right? Let's say Tua retires, takes his guaranteed money and goes on his merry way. The Dolphins have invested so much into that position in the faith that he will get over that now you're paying now two wide receivers, buku money that don't need it because you don't even got nobody to throw it to them because Skylar Thompson ain't doing shit. I think I didn't even know if Teddy Bridgewater was still in the league, but they was talking about him and they said he hurt.
No, he's not coming back.
Teddy Bridgewater, coach.
Oh, well, either way. I don't know who they call for this to maybe Tannehill. I don't know. He'll come back to Miami. But it looks like in 1 week, the whole franchise is in shambles once again. And as a Miami fan, you are thinking that we at least gonna make the playoffs going into the season, especially after last week's comeback victory. But now, like, all that's gone. I think he's had like four concussions in the last 2 years or something like that.
Four or five. Something.
Yeah, at that point, bro, you're rattling your brain. Your brain is not meant to be going through that. It ain't like you tore ACL or like you busted your knee or you busted a shoulder or something like that where you can repair it. It's like your brain, you know, you can't get a new brain. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you're a millionaire. You in Miami. You know what I'm saying? State tax, you know, stay free or whatever. Mm-hmm. Income tax. Like you can live off the guaranteed bread that they gave you and just call it what it is. It's sad to say.
100%.
It is what it is.
100%. Like just walk away. Walk away while you still have enough youth. You still have enough left in terms of cognizance. Just walk away. You're like you said, Nick, like you're a millionaire, whatever guaranteed money that has been paid, that's still guaranteed to you. I'm pretty sure that there's some type of injury clause or something, some type of insurance or something. But at this point, just as a human being, he needs to walk away because I don't want the worst to happen to him out there, meaning that he ain't going to walk off that field. And the way that these last ones have looked, look, it's gotten to the point where the TV crews know how to handle this now. You see, they cut it ASAP. They didn't keep showing it. They didn't go back to it. They was talking about it, but they wasn't allowing the public to see it on national TV, man. It's a bad thing, and he needs to walk away. There is no salvaging it at this
point. And that was probably the NFL telling them that they need to keep that off screen so nobody show it because it's bad for business. But either way it goes, I mean, Tua went out there and he talked all that shit about Brian Flores, and then he go out there
karma
and perform like that. That's the guy. Now, I'm with you guys. It's week two, and it's a short week. So, you know.
They got 10 days, yeah. They got 10 days.
Yeah, so it would have been, I would have hoped to at least see how he performed in three or four games, because quarterbacks have bad games. Everybody has them. There are anomalies, et cetera, et cetera. But it was just a thought that came to my mind, and Brian Flores somewhere was like, that's the guy I remember. The second take I had, Nick.
Oh, so you ain't gonna wait till Tuesday. You gotta get it out now. Go ahead. Do it.
Nah, man, we gotta address these things, bro. Cause man, is Tyreek good if he ain't running it past anybody?
I was saying, I've never seen, we were talking about number ones and all that stuff. He was going to the list, and I was like, bro, I've never seen a number one get jammed at the line like he did in that playoff game against Kansas City and just get taken out of that game. Like,
if he's not catching the screen or running by a receiver.
Now, the only caveat I have, Ken, is that he does have Tua as his quarterback.
That's what I was
going to
say. We'll never know.
Nah, it's Tua.
I'm just saying.
He wasn't getting the ball.
So he has some excuses here and there.
Ken, we saw this guy have 203 yards in a quarter. In a quarter.
That's not what I'm asking.
That was with Patty. So what are you asking? You're asking how viable is he as a wide receiver? And I think that what all three of us, the other three, are saying is that part of that is the quarterback.
It has to be. And even
because the Bucs shut his ass down too. And they played a very similar defense with two safeties over the top, and he couldn't do anything. And I think this happened in the playoffs. Remember?
But Ken, understand what
you're saying. And that was with Patrick Mahomes, by the way.
Understand what you're just saying. There's one wide receiver, and there's taking three people to cover him. That is advantage offense, because not everybody across the board is one.
What offense? Because it wasn't an advantage to the offense tonight.
I understand that. That is partly Tua, right? But what I'm saying is you're talking about the Bucs game. That was with Pat Mahomes.
And Andy Reid.
I understand. And Pat Mahomes. And everybody else ate. But that's what you want your number one wide receiver to do, Ken. You want your number one wide receiver to take at least two people. And they have to put resources of three-plus people. There's only been a handful of guys that we've seen that you have to do that. Megatron is one. Tyreek is one. Jerry Rice, I don't know what type of coverages it was playing back in the day. I wasn't watching football and analyzing it like how I am now. But at the end of the day, Ken, your number one wide receiver is to take at least two people and beat double coverage at times, but definitely take advantage of the one-on-ones and then open it up for the rest of the offense.
Yeah, but where were the slants? Where were the digs? Where were all the other stuff? Which I'm glad you said that, because you're leading me into my third take.
Okay.
Mike McDaniel might be overrated, bro.
I'll be thinking about that all too, this,
bro. Shelton. Ain't, no one's falling for all that misdirection shit he be trying to do on the field anymore. He caught the league by fire, maybe with all that shit before. And to what FIFO was saying, if Tyreek is taking two or three people, why ain't Logic getting Jaden Daniels and all these other guys the ball? All I saw was a bunch of screens, and A-Chan was running the ball good. So why wasn't he scheming other players open if Tyreek Hill is taking most of the coverage? Jaden Waddle couldn't get shit done. And Tua's his guy.
Mm-hmm. It should have been a Waddle game.
Tua's the guy that he inherited and made work. And here's the thing, Ken. The offense based on the quarterback is screen-based. It's wide receiver screen based. They only take deep shots maybe a handful of times. You know what I'm saying? Look, Kat, I'm not absolving Mike McDaniel. I'm not going to say he's overrated, but I do agree when you said his voice is too light. The aura that he brings to a football team is not rough and tough, right? And that's something that I mentioned about being able to have a deep playoff run. You have to be able to go into inclement weather, into tougher, rougher teams, and be able to play a certain brand of football. Offensively, I'm not questioning his creativity because he definitely gets people involved. He can get you the ball if you're a playmaker. We've seen that. Mostert had a career year before Achane got hurt. He looked like he was arguably one of the best running backs in the league. Obviously, Tariq led the league. Jalen Waddle's a perfect number two. Gesicki, before he went to the Bengals, was a good tight end. So they had, like, he was able to get everybody involved.
That was last year before the league caught up, right?
Yeah, I don't think the league is caught up. I think the difference where he may be overrated as a head coach is not being tough enough because that defense is soft as tissue paper, bro. And not just tissue paper, wet tissue paper. We saw the Bills just and Josh Allen just do whatever they wanted to do. James Cook scored 3 first half touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? He was doing whatever he wanted to do. And at the end of the day, regardless of how creative or how explosive an offense can be, one thing that a championship defense needs to have is tenacity. And watching these first 2 games from the Dolphins, on that side of the ball, they lack that in spades. They lack tenacity.
Hold on, Sheldon. What's funny to me is FIFO saying that he came into saying that Miami had like one of the best rosters, I think, in the AFC East. And he was talking about some of the defenders, like they were like, what was it, Jalen Ramsey, or somebody else on the D line, and all that stuff. Now he's saying the defense is soft as tissue paper. When I called out that a while ago, and I was saying, like, bro, it's just the thing with Mike McDaniels that I do agree with Ken's point. The overrated side does come as an overall head coach. You got to do more than coach your side of the football. That's why people coming at Robert Saleh with the Jets. That's why some people came at. That's why people came at Bill Belichick with the Pats. It was like, yeah, you do great on this side, but what about this other side? This other side that's going to help you win games. The other side that's going to guarantee wins for a game like this when they're running the ball all over the place. Like, that's where I see it's overrated. Now, with the Tyreek thing, I got to see more evidence. Like, to me, if anything, Tyreek without Tua, is Tyreek still a good receiver without a statistically top 10 quarterback, right? So, is he like a DeAndre Hopkins? Is he like a Stephon Diggs where you can go anywhere and you're going to be great? We'll see that come up in the next few weeks. But the Dolphins weren't really a great team to begin with. And that was being proven last season. I think last season was a nail on the coffin for me to be like, the Dolphins are not a great team. Because when they had that lead, that 3-game lead in the division, and then they lost it. And not only they lost it to the Bills, but it was how they lost it. They lost like the last 3 or 4 games. Going into the playoffs, it was just kind of like, this team is not a serious contender because they don't have serious players, in my opinion, when it comes to like that can actually win you a game when you need it. Like, they don't have a serious quarterback. We don't believe in him. Ken is already saying they ain't got a serious number one wide receiver as far as Tyreek Hill, and they don't have a serious defense.
So it's like, what
do you really take seriously about the Dolphins? None of us outside of Lou picked them to do anything this year. So, and FIFA, every season since Tyreek got traded there, you've been saying the Dolphins have a great offense. They're going to light the lead on fire. When they scored 70 points against Denver, people were like, oh, yeah, this is probably one of the greatest offenses ever. But every year we come down to this, where we all realize that, like you said, Ken, Tua ain't shit. Now, I know this is a bad time to say that, but up until the first half, we was all thinking that. And Mike McDaniels may have, honestly, he may have bet on the wrong horse.
I'm just asking questions, Shelton. That's all.
And you know what? That's what I was going to say. It's a couple of things to that. That's absolutely true. My issue, where I agree with you, Ken, 100%, is Mike McDaniel. He is a great offensive mind. He really, really is. But the problem is, you have to be able to make adjustments on the fly. At halftime, you got to be able to come out and make those critical adjustments when they figured out your scheme. What are you going to do to counter the move that the defenses from the great coordinators are making? to stop what you're trying to do. If they're stopping Tyreek, like you said, we need to figure out a plan to get the ball elsewhere and move the ball down the field effectively while protecting our quarterback. That's what they're not doing. And also the defense, we already know they soft. And you know, that's why Vic Fangio is in Philadelphia now, because he was coaching them too hard. That was a whole issue that they had. They wasn't used to old school coaching, and they didn't like it. And it shows at times when you need a defensive stance and you need them to step up, you're really not getting it. I did not believe in Buffalo, and the only reason I didn't was because they didn't replace those receivers. So I figured it was going to be a drop-off because it was too much on Josh Allen's back. But the defense stepped up, improved. Man, Oliver was a monster tonight. He was in the backfield almost every play. So in saying that, Buffalo has galvanized themselves as a team. They got real good coaching, and it showed tonight. You know, they were in the same boat as Miami last week. That was a game that they, with all intents and purposes, had no business winning. So I figured going in, that's why I picked Miami to win this game, because I felt like they had more weapons. They had more horses on their side. Now, no, they wouldn't have won a quarterback battle, but they should have won the battle everywhere else as far as I was concerned. You lost a lot of key defensive players, and you lost your offensive firepower because you have nobody on the outside. So I figured they would shut them down, but I was wrong. I was dead wrong.
Real quick on the Bills, I will say Josh Allen is balling right now, but I'm curious to see how long he can – like you mentioned, Sheldon, like it's going to get to the point, like this is a long-ass season. Like eventually those weapons issues are going to show up. Just like when we were discussing, now he's not Patty, but when we saw earlier on in last season when those receivers were dropping passes, it was like, all right, well, if this goes on for a whole season, then y'all might be in trouble. Now, Patty obviously is Patty Mahomes. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. So he can overcome that. But I don't see Josh Allen in that same light. So I'm interested in seeing, like, once the season gets on and the competition, it gets rougher and he has to play again, going to the Jets, even facing the Pats, even going back to, well, I ain't gonna say going back to Miami because I think they done, but and then playing the other teams. I want to see how this Bills team develops over season and see what happens. If Josh Allen could take a big leap this year and actually, you know, make another weapon, maybe out of Keon Coleman and others, but I don't think there's going to be much success with how the Bills are playing. I just think they're really hot right now because it's the start of the season and they had the Cardinals and they had the Dolphins. Like that should have been, I think that was going to be 2-0 regardless if you looked at their schedule.
So the Bills are not really going to get tested until later on in the season, because I don't disagree with you, Shelton. I question the wide receiver core as well. But James Cook looked like he's stepping up. But looking at their schedule, Week 3, they got the Jacksonville Jaguars. We know that that's a decent defense, but it shouldn't scare Josh Allen. But then Week 4, they got the Baltimore Ravens. Week 5 is the Texans. Again, not a juggernaut, but a solid defensive team. Then the Jets, then the Titans. But it doesn't really start turning up until Week 11, where they got Kansas City. Week 13, they got San Francisco. Week 15, they got the Lions. You know what I'm saying? But again, it's not like they're going to be fit.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, FIFO, like they're liable to lose one of those goofy games, though. Like,
they're liable to lose a couple of those games, like
Shelton said, like,
no, 100%.
That Cardinals game should have been a loss. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a game that you, like, really almost went either way. So it's just like,
but what I'm saying, just to
the Shelton's margins are shorter. Point,
just to Shelton's point, where all of the pressure being on Josh Allen, he's not going to feel that until he plays a top-level defense. When you're talking middle of the road or barely decent defenses, an above-average and elite quarterback, not going to feel that. It's like you see what he – bro, you felt the whole game that Josh Allen could do whatever he wanted to do in this game. And against those mediocre to barely decent defenses, that's what it's going to look like, or that's what it should look like. It's not going to be until he –
I would also say a shootout would prove that as well, because if he has to go point for point, score for score, he can't be running the ball like that. That's going to take them to be a one-element team. And again, we don't know who to trust wide receiver-wise. So that's another game. Like if he faces Houston, you know, obviously CJ Stroud has proven he could throw it up with anybody. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that I'm watching out too. Again, it's still early in the season, so if they're going to get the wins, they might as well get them now. Because like you mentioned, FIFA, once that second half of the season come in, them wins is probably going to come very, very rarely.
Yeah, and I'm not sold on what happened tonight at all. Josh Allen made a great play rolling out, hitting Ty Johnson, on the back. We kept moving. That was a busted play. He made a good read. He does that. And the defense that we've already said was soft, reared his head early in this game. But, you know, he didn't do anything really phenomenal. James Cook ran the ball really well, but he had 11 carries for 78 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also caught another touchdown as well. But he was 13 of 19 for 139 yards. Tua was 17 of 25 for 145 and a touchdown and 3 interceptions before he went out. And that is the highlight of how this game got to where it is. 3 interceptions by Tua. And also, they went for it on 4th and 2 and did not get it. They gave the Bills, 17 points in what was a 7-7 game. So the Dolphins made a lot of mistakes and the Bills took advantage of it. And that's how we got there. And I think one of those interceptions was a pick 6. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see Josh Allen really do anything. He just managed the game because he didn't really have to do anything. And that's kudos to poor play by the Dolphins, great play by the Bills defense. And that's what we got. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how these games go. But they got gifted this game tonight by being the least prepared team out of both, which goes to coaching. So, yeah, that's what I got.
Brian Flores is going to be popping a bottle by next week. not that Tua getting hurt, but just more so before he got hurt. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, they don't listen to black men. That's what they said, kid. Listen to black men. Niggas really try to cuss him out for him saying he'd rather have Justin Herbert than Tua. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, yeah, but you know, hopefully Tua get well and make the right whatever decision he feels is best to him.
He needs to
one more hit, bro, and it might not be good.
I think the decision is clear, bro. If Mike McDaniels really truly fucks with him and loves him like he showed on the sidelines and stuff when he was getting
taken. He kissed him on the head, yeah.
Bro, I would tell him, like, look, bro. You got about, 50, 70 million guaranteed. Take that bread, invest it. You could be a Dolphin forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, you in Miami. Like, just call it a career.
That won't come from Mike McDaniel. That should come from his parents and his family. His family
I'm expecting that from them because they don't give a damn about football more than him, obviously. Mike McDaniels he's not that close and you know how some head coaches are. They probably care about themselves more than the players. So if he's a player's coach, like y'all said, like he should give him that advice and be like, look, bro, this may be it. Because for one, you was looking like shitball before that. And two, nigga, you going, like you're one more hit away from, you not even probably remember your own name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when you're seething up like that, that's pretty bad. And you get hit the right way, or again, you may not come back from that. And that is the issue here, that he, a neurological doctor and everything, they have to make that decision and tell him, like, it's almost like, what was that movie? Any Given Sunday. Mm-hmm. It was like, bro, like one more and you know, you're done. Like, how much are you willing to sacrifice for this game? But Nick, I'm telling you, probably after 2 games of Skylar Thompson, bro, he gonna burn that speech.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you this right now. We gonna probably look back at this season, going back to the draft, and saying the Falcons may have made the greatest decision in the world as far as drafting Penix while still having a quote unquote franchise QB on the roster. Yep. Because now you look at that, like regardless of what happens with the season, the Falcons good. You can't say the same thing about Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, because like you mentioned, Ken, Skylar Thompson and whoever else they got back there, and they can't make no good trades for nobody. Bringing back Tannehill sounds like the worst thing Miami fans want to hear right now. So it's just like the franchise has been set back for another 5-8 years. If he go, if Tua retires, or honestly, even if Tua doesn't retire, which I think would be dumb for him not to, if he comes back, do you see them being competitive? Now they're down, you know, they can't beat the Bills. They only, scored, 10 points or 30 points in the next two games. So they're averaging 15 points a game with that high-powered offense. Like, I don't know. I'm really feeling for Miami fans right now. I'm feeling Tua. I mean, Tua definitely, but for Miami fans in the future, I don't think it's looking shitball.
Well, more news to come over the next couple of days. I'm sure it's going to be a while before we get a decision about anything, which it should take as much time as they need. But there's a lot on the line. But more importantly, I mean, $170 million, Mike McDaniel's reputation, the Dolphins' future, because they invested in not only Tua, but the receivers as well for the next 3 years, because they envision themselves chasing a Super Bowl. But the more important thing that's on the line is the player's safety above all. And, we'll see what happens.
And last thing, people may start looking at these wide receiver contracts differently because of what's going to happen in this situation for the rest of the season if Tua doesn't come back. Because like you said, Ken, you paying two receivers top money, and we know damn sure they probably will be lucky to break 1,000 yards with that quarterback play that they got in Miami, no matter how good Mike McDaniels is.
Yep. Well, anyway, man, that's going to do it for us. We'll catch you guys next time. Of course, make sure you guys subscribe to the channel if you're coming across this. And hit the like button, the subscribe button, thumbs up button. And we'll definitely keep track of it. So we'll be back, man, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. But we also do like reactions to big games as well throughout the week. So see you guys then. We out. Peace.
Peace.